Our scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, if you could, get your Bibles out. Get them over to the book of Genesis. Genesis is where we will be beginning shortly, so I invite you to get your Bibles out. Get them over there. It's good to see everyone this morning. Appreciate everyone being here. Appreciate everyone's desire to come here to learn about spiritual things. It's a special day today, special first and foremost, because it's the Lord's Day. It's the best way that we can start the week together with God's family, but of course today is special for another reason. Happy Mother's Day to all you West Side moms. You today are recognized and you are honored. We have a lot of good moms out there, moms that that sacrifice a lot of their everything to be the type of mom that God desires them to be, and for that you are honored. We have also a lot of people here that look out for those moms, and we appreciate you too, taking care of them, always helping and encouraging and being there and supporting these mothers. And Christians are good like that. Christians are really good at taking care of people, and it made me start thinking about other things that Christians are good at. And I think Christians, they're good at a lot of things. You know, they're good at encouraging people and showing empathy and compassion and supporting each other. It doesn't take much for all of the West Side members here to just kind of rally around somebody when they're going through a hard time, and Christians are really good like that. I think Christians are also good about having potlucks. I'll put you guys against any other chef. You guys are good at that. I'm good at eating at potlucks. But Christians are also good at singing. We're good at singing. I think you could tell that by how good the singing sounded just a few moments ago. Christians are really good at that. We love to express ourselves through song. We love to offer God our praise because he loves it and he deserves it, and we want to honor him. And good for us, God loves singing too. Of course, he loved it first, but he loves our voice. He loves our praise, and he and we love singing, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. Continuing what we started, we started back in January with learning what Westside's favorite hymns are. And you voted. The results are in. And we now know Westside's top 12 favorite songs. And you know the drill. We go through them one by one starting in January, revealing that list, and we're breaking it down. Who wrote it? Why did they write it? Why is it there? What are those good words about? Why do we love it? And so before I show the number 8, before I show that song, I want to thank Jonah for the songs that he selected and sang for us and led for us this morning. Not only was his execution on point, but so was his selections. And if you noticed, his selections had kind of an overriding theme to it. Did you catch it? Did you pay attention to that? Drawing near to God when we are suffering. That's why he led Nearer, My God, to Thee. And that's why he led Nearer Still, Nearer. And what do I mean by suffering? I think you know, like our trials, our hardships, our pain, our tears that we all experience. Adversity, right? I'm not talking about fake trials. I'm not talking about like my Wi-Fi went out, or my my Chick-fil-A sweet tea was too sour, or people are giving someone a hard time for a bad mustache. Not talking about those types of trials. I'm talking about real trials, things that keep us up at night. The realities of life that just rock us to our core. The things, and you know what they are, like the trials that make us stop and just kind of question everything. The trials that are so bad that they don't even seem real. I think you all know that, and you've experienced that, and that's what Jonah's theme was, because that's exactly what this song is about. And I'm sure you've already guessed it, especially if you paid attention to the scripture, you can put it all together. And it's number 8 on our list, but it's number 1 on mine. You guys have seen that side of me that I don't want to be up here, but you know the thing. No surprise that this is on our list. But also, kind of a, how could not be higher, right? I mean, everyone's mock draft probably had this one sitting top 5. And here we are with the first surprise of the list. The people, you have spoken, and they've picked a song. You've picked a song that's already, it's already legendary status. If I could quote Dylan, he would say, this song's gas, right? Am I right, Dylan? And if this song retired right now, it would be like a Hall of Fame selection. This is a modern song written by modern writers, Keith and Kristen Getty. Margaret Becker arranged it. Charles Willis arranged it. Margaret Becker, she has a big part of that. But it's a modern song, but it's written about an ancient problem, a very old problem, a present-day song about a really old issue, a problem since the beginning. That's why you need to be in the book of Genesis, because that's where we're going to begin. Genesis chapter 3, I have to read it right now. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The rest of this chapter, it goes on, and God's going to give the sentencing. He's going to give the punishment, right? He's going to talk to the serpent and Eve and then Adam, handing out those consequences for their actions. And one of the common denominators, the common themes of the consequences of the sin was pain. And we live in a blame happy world, and I'll participate in that right now. If you're looking at for someone to point your finger at, someone to blame about the hardships and the adversity that we go through, then you want to point it at Satan. Satan is the ruler of darkness. He is ultimately responsible for the pain, the suffering, everything in this world that we have to deal with. Ephesians 6 talks about what we go through in this life is a war, right? Every day we are at war. The principalities, the schemes of the devil, the spiritual forces of evil. We are at war with that. And Genesis chapter 3 marks the beginning of this broken world that you and I know and live in and are a part of. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, Paul's going to kind of talk about this a little bit. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Paul says the sins of Adam and Eve unleashed disease and death among the world. Turn the page to Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans 8:18 says all of the creation was really affected and afflicted by human transgressions. In verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And this is what's responsible for the motivation for the writing of this song. It's because this is the moment that the reason why we have these trials. And we all remember where we were when we were first introduced to this song. For those of you that were here, there we were. It was Friday night, and it was cool out, if I remember. And it was, I think it was our seventh annual singing. Dane was here, Dane Shepherd, and he was visiting. He was helping us with that. And Dane gets up to lead, and he does something that no one should do, they can't do. And that is, he's going to introduce a new song to us at our annual singing. Like, what? Like, you want to lead a new song now? Like, that's crazy. You don't do that. But that's not crazy to Dane. He knew exactly what he was doing. Few people could pull that off, and Dane was one of those people, because he knew what he was doing. He knew how special this song is, and he knew that it would go really well, because it's actually not too difficult. You very quickly catch on to this song, right? It's not hard. And you very quickly fall in love with this song. Dane, he song slapped us that night, and he bit us with the Jesus Draw Me Ever Nearer bug, and that bug is contagious, and that bug does not go away, and that's why within just a few years, it's already on our top 12 favorite songs. And only powerful songs have this effect. And this song is powerful because it's so relatable, right? This song speaks to what we all go through to some degree or another, and that is, as the song calls in verse 1, storms, or storm. Verse 2, the tempest, probably another word for a bigger storm, but it means storm. Verse 3, trial. Turn to the book of James. You knew I was going to go to the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, or you encounter various trials. Not if, but when you encounter various trials. Peter will call them fiery trials or a fiery ordeal in 1 Peter 4, which means something difficult or painful that you're going to go through. And then Peter will say, don't be surprised when you go through them. Don't be surprised when they come your way. And this is why Jonah led till the storm passes over, right? And all throughout Scripture, we know that trials and sufferings and all those synonymous words are described as storms. The pain, the worry, the fear, the adversity, all of that. They're storms, storms of life. And we understand that metaphor. We understand that the Bible speaks a lot about pain and it speaks a lot about distress. In fact, find me one book of the Bible that doesn't really mention some type of pain or persecution or hardship. Probably can't do it. It's everywhere in the Bible because it's everywhere in this world. And we already saw where they come from. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. But understanding the problem, understanding where all of this pain came from, and understanding that it's everywhere in the Bible because everybody goes through it, doesn't really help us when we're going through the trial in that moment. It doesn't really make the pain go away when it's 2 in the morning and you can't sleep and you're all alone with your thoughts and you're about as low as you can go. You're not getting your Bible out and turning over to Genesis chapter 3 and reading about how Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. It doesn't help you. That's not giving you much comfort. That doesn't stop the hurting. It doesn't stop the suffering. It doesn't stop that pain. And all you want is just for that pain to stop. In that moment, you're not trying to do some intellectual study on why God allows righteous people to suffer. And that question is going to come up, but really, you just want to feel good. You just want to feel better. You just want to stop crying. You want the trial, the tempest, just to be over. And this is, for lack of a better example, I just remember one time, you'll get it, I was just super hot. It was really hot. I was doing some work, and I was miserable. And all I wanted was just relief. I just wanted to feel better. I didn't care where the heat came from or that other people might have been hotter or that everyone goes through. I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted to feel cool. I just wanted relief. And when you're in that moment, you almost lose your mind a little bit. You lose that kind of rational thinking. You're like, I don't care what I have to do. I don't care who it affects, what it costs, I just want relief. And that is us whenever we're going through the storm. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what it takes. I just want to feel better. So, how do we get relief? How do we ease the pain? Well, enter this song, this beautiful plea to Jesus to just kind of put us right here. You know, just kind of hold us. And go over to Hebrews chapter 10. If you're in James, just go a couple of chapters back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Drawing near to God. Go back to James chapter 4 in verse 8. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. You know when a kid is, you know, all you mothers and your children, you know when a kid is scared, or maybe a kid is hurt, or maybe they skinned their knees, maybe they're just sad. You know, what does the kid want? They want to be held. They want to be comforted. They want to be hugged. Or maybe they feel threatened. You know, stranger danger is a real thing. Maybe they just got lost in the mall. You know, what do they desire? Closeness with their parents, right? And the closer to their parents they are, the better they feel. The safer they are, the better that it is for them. And I think of our relationship with God like that sometimes. Sometimes we just want to be held by our Father, because the closer we are to God, then the farther away we are from the pain. Nothing bad can happen to us if we are with the Father. And so we're safe and we're protected and we feel good. And there's way too many verses to choose from. I kind of describe this safety. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, we know Paul was there and with others and he was ran off and there was a lot of persecution. And the Thessalonian brethren, they were a young church and they were going through a lot of adversity as well. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 3, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you against from the evil one. But we're not just protected. We know that. We're not just protected in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 18. We could spend a lot of time in Psalm, the book of Psalms. We'll look at just a couple of verses here. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Remember the lyrics from Nearer, Still Nearer? It says, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, O Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. And there's the point. So why does God allow suffering and us to walk through the fire? And why are we afflicted on every side and being pushed around? Or we're just trying to live our lives of obedience? Why does the Lord allow that to happen and just get worn down by these storms of life? Well, besides other reasons that we've kind of mentioned, perhaps the main reason is because these are the periods of life where we really learn to cling to Christ. The trials of life remind us of our weakness and our dependence on God. They help us see a need for Jesus. And like the kid with the skinned knees, we just run to him. And suffering is going to put a floodlight on our frailty. It's going to drive us to our knees and make us beg to search for God. Psalm chapter 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. The only cure then, the only way that we'll feel better during that test, during that storm, is nearness to God. You know, sometimes we talk about spiritual blessings. You hear that phrase kind of come up a lot. And maybe I should have made this point earlier, but Ephesians 1 talks about this big list of spiritual blessings. You can call them like perks to being a Christian. And one of those perks is the ability to call out to God as our Father from us his children through Jesus. And that's something that, we can do. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, he is able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We can draw near to God through Jesus. But notice I said Christian. Like, these blessings are reserved for those who are in Jesus, in him, his people, who have submitted themselves to God through obedience, who have obeyed the gospel. These are the ones who, are lavished with these blessings that you read about in Ephesians chapter 1. The ones who, when the storm comes, they recognize that these trials are not meant to bring us despair and defeat, but rather they're special blessings from God because they push us closer to him, to his Savior. And I think, wait a minute, Kyle, did you just say blessing? My child just got diagnosed with brain cancer, and you're going to call that a blessing? Like, my spouse just left me, and I just lost my job, and you're going to say that's a good thing? Kinda. Go back to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. As backwards as that sounds, and I know that's it's easier said than realized. But James chapter 1, 2 through 4. When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Paul will say in Romans chapter 5, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. There actually is a purpose. There is value in the trial. The trials do something for you. And the song echoes this. Look at verse 3. Let the treasures of the trial form within me as I go. Look at verse 2. Jesus, guide me through the tempest. Keep my spirit stayed and sure. Stayed means fixed, permanent. Like, keep my faith strong. Don't let it waver. Don't let it crumble. Then it says, when the midnight meets the morning, let me love you even more. You know that phrase, the darkest hour is the hour before dawn? I think about that when I think about that verse. I feel like the hardest time of a trial is at night when we're alone. It's dark and you're just alone with all your thoughts. But then the sun comes up. And then you go from your lowest to comfort and calmness. And dawn brings relief. You made it. You persevered. You got through that storm, and now things are better. And I think about that phrase, but really the point is, when the trial is over, let me love you even more. Let me be stronger. Let me be better. Let me be bigger. Help me to have grown during the pain. And our faith should go up after each trial. It has to. 1 Peter chapter 1. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. First Peter is all about these external trials and external persecutions. And there's a purpose to it. There's a process. And that has to be, it's got to be the Christian's response to trials. Nearness to God, resulting in growth in God. If you don't get that, you've missed it. Any other response is not the right response. And of course, there's other blessings that come from suffering. I think this one is the biggest one, but suffering helps kind of put life into perspective. You know, sometimes we can drift a little bit. We can get a little self-reliant. We can get a little prideful. And trials kind of bring us back down to earth and humble us. Maybe you have a family member who you had a bad relationship with, and then you both went through a trial together, and now that kind of helped reconcile you. That moment kind of brings you back together. One poet wrote, "We, by our sufferings, learn to prize our bliss." Suffering can also help you help others when they go through a hard time. You know, I mentioned at the beginning that Christians are good at a lot of things. I think this is something that we are really, really good at, is the folks here at Westside are really good at just helping each other and bearing each other's burdens. Paul will talk about viewing others as more significant than yourself. And he'll say in chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think we're good at coming to the aid of the people around us who are suffering and not leaving them to bear that load by themselves. Can you imagine if we weren't those types of people? That would be awful. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is part of the reason why we draw near to Jesus, because he has suffered. He can relate, and in turn, we can help others. We have a lot of people here who have suffered just tremendous loss. They just look around, like, they've been through that, and they've been through that. And you have these big scars. But you can help other people who have a really fresh, like they're getting their scar, and you can help them during that. Finally, read with me the chorus here at the bottom. Well, you can read it. I won't read it. Out of all the songs on the list, all of them, I wasn't looking forward to this one because this is so fresh. It's raw. I'm still sad. It describes this as a journey, and that we're laboring. Laboring means working with difficulty. And it says it's a long passage, and I perfect. The word's perfect, because as it actually says it twice. Because passage, by definition, means you're going somewhere. It's the act of or a process of moving through, under, over, or past something on the way from one place to another. I thought, oh, that's pretty brilliant, and I love that confidence. And we've talked about the blessings that should result from trials. And that the blessings that are only found in Christ is, and that's why we draw near to him, and he's the only one that can make us feel better. But this passage is taking us somewhere, like we're going somewhere. We're laboring on this long journey, and because the treasure that we're looking for, the nearness that we're longing for, is literally being with Jesus, like face to face. Like he can literally hold us. Philippians 1, Paul talks about departing to be with Christ. James chapter 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Paul in 2 Corinthians, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." There it is. That's the blessing. These trials are tests. They're tests. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13 and 14, you knew I'd read this verse. "I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." We've been called for this. It's incredibly difficult. But you have to keep going, even though, like the song says, you're worn. And you can be worn. Life's gonna get its share. It's gonna take its toll. You can be worn. Just don't be worn out to the point where you're useless. You know, keep fighting. Keep getting up. Because we wanna We want to leave the trials at the throne. You ever heard the song? It's the old rugged cross. You know that song. And that the chorus, till my trophies at last I lay down, right? And then you exchange it someday for a crown. So I'm talking about that hope. But don't forget that it is during this moment, this low, that the devil wants to come in and take that. Because he knows. The devil's no dummy. Remember that the war that we're in. These trials can be, you know, moments of weakness, and we can be vulnerable. When there is, like when all the fears and anxieties, like the job loss, the abandonment of your friends, the phone call from the doctor with the surprise illness, the death of someone close, when there's no hedge of protection, and we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of the greatest fear that we've ever thought about. The devil's limited in his power, but he's not a dummy. He's smart. He knows how to attack us. And this is the moment when he wants to come in and take your heart. Turn over to the book of Job. Who thought that I was getting ready to preach a whole lesson on suffering and not talk about Job one time? I won't say much. Tonight's song service that the kids put together is all about Job and his story, his suffering. I won't say much, but Job is a great case study for us. And we know this. He's a man that in a moment lost everything. There were robbers, and there was a fire, and there was a great wind. Maybe it was a tempest. And he went from having everything to having nothing. He even lived you mother's worst fear by losing 7 sons and 3 daughters. The father's fear too. 10 kids. And to make matters worse, he loses his health in a moment. He has to use a broken piece of pottery to scrape his wounds. Everything that you worry about, like right now, you're worried about these things, he experienced it in a moment. There was a guy that I went to high school with. True story, unfortunately. Guy I went to high school with gets the phone call. He lost his wife and all 4 kids in a car wreck. Gone. 5 members of his family. Gone. Now he's by himself. Unthinkable. Unimaginable. You can't. Gone in an instant. And that was Job. Boom. Left with nothing. Now, Job he's an amazing case study for us because this extraordinary situation that he was in, he had extraordinary faith. And much could be said about that. And there's that famous verse, naked I came from my mother's womb, and blessed be the name of the Lord. You know. Mustache itches. He gives and he takes away. And as great as it was, he says something in chapter 2 that just kind of hits a little bit different, even though the idea is the same. In chapter 2, he goes through that pain, and his wife says, like, she's very normal, and she just says, curse God and die. And reminder that Job has now gone through everything that we worry about. The biggest storm that we could imagine, EF5 tornado on the scale. It's the biggest one, biggest storm we could imagine. And in verse 10, he says, shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? NASB says adversity. Just kind of hits a little different for some reason. And you know, I don't have all the answers for why God allows righteous people to suffer. I don't have all the answers on how to make everyone feel better. Job didn't get all the answers either. But what I do know is that we are just a mere blip of the overall big picture. We are a torn page from a very big book. And I know that drawing near to God is the only response that will get you through the pain of whatever you're going through, and understanding that someday at the end of this long passage, at the end of our heart's testing, when we're at the throne of God, the ultimate blessing will be realized. A time that there won't be any really dark, middle-of-the-night loneliness. A moment where there'll be no more pain or adversity, because we'll all be with Jesus face-to-face, like a child with their parent, together, forever. And this song captures all of that, I think, pretty brilliantly. So when we sing it, let it just strengthen your faith. Let it remind you of the hope, the good that comes after the trial. And don't be afraid to let the emotion come out. It's okay. Musically, let's just take a quick moment just to make sure we're all on the same page. Jonah and I agreed that the verses, three verses, should be a little bit contemplative, a little bit reflective, not too loud, but also not too soft, just kind of normal, slightly slow. You just really want to just let it soak in. And then when we get to the chorus, remember every song builds towards a moment. There's always a mountaintop, a high point of every song, and in this song it's in the chorus, that may I rise on wings of faith. So in the chorus we're going to be a little bit louder, we're going to be a little bit quicker, we're going to hold some notes for some emphasis. And if you're going to cry during the song, that's fine too. Just make sure you're back in for that part, because that's the biggest part of the song. And then when you get to the very end, back to the normal volume and speed that you were at when you started, and at the very end, just kind of slow down. That's it. Just do that three times, and then you're done. And then that song will just be, it'll be the best. So appreciate everyone being here this morning and letting me work my way through this. If you're suffering this morning, understand that all the remedies that we talked about this morning have been about those who have put on Christ in baptism, because if you haven't put on Christ through baptism, then you're gonna suffer, but then you're gonna suffer more, and you just don't have that relief and that hope. And there's no bigger tragedy than somebody being lost in their sins. And if this describes you this morning, we would love nothing more than to have that conversation with you and to study with you to help you come to an understanding of the truth. If you do understand and you're ready to walk in a new life of faith, experience those blessings that we talked about that come by being a child of God and obeying the gospel, whatever spiritual need you have this morning, we are here, and that's what it's all about. So let's take care of whatever we need to take care of. Come forward as we sing, I Am Resolved.